You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily podcast on the Toronto Blue Jays, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to Locked On Blue Jays, your daily dose of Toronto Blue Jays talk directly into your headspace, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, AJ Andrews at JaysFromTheCouch.com, and thank you for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. And if not, I mean, it's pretty easy to do. You just gotta find it wherever you get your podcasts, like this one. I know I said last episode that we were going to do a secondary New Jays episode, but I'm gonna hold off on that because we can do Jimmy Garcia talk next time. We have baseball stuff to talk about, actual baseball news to talk about, because earlier today, on Tuesday, the Hall of Fame balloting was announced. Yay! And there are quite a few storylines that actually come from it, so we're going to talk about them here, because I'd rather do that and actually have some news to talk to y'all about, rather than feeling like I'm rehashing stuff you may have already heard last year. So, here we go. For those of you who weren't aware, the voting for the Hall of Fame was announced today. It's been tracked for a while. Only one player got in, and it wasn't Barry Bonds, and it wasn't Roger Clemens, and it wasn't that xenophobic, racist, homophobic piece of garbage, Curt Schilling. And all three of those gentlemen have various reasons why they are garbage people, but we'll get to that. No, it was David Ortiz, the longtime Red Sox designated hitter, who got in on his first ballot, got like 77.9% of votes. So Big Poppy is a Hall of Famer. And he is the only one. And there are people who are salty. So salty. And I'll talk about it probably more in the second segment of this episode. But I wanna focus on Big Poppy, because a lot of people are also salty about him. Because, one, there's your standard designated hitter saltiness. David Ortiz, only the second designated hitter to get into the Hall of Fame behind Edgar Martinez, a longtime Seattle DH. People are like, he wasn't really playing the field. What do you do? He hit. A lot of times you're just looking at numbers like, oh, that guy hit. Like, doesn't really matter what he did. And a lot of the same people are going to make arguments about the gentleman who did not get in. And again, we will talk about that in a sec. But David Ortiz carried himself like a guy who deserved to be enshrined. David Ortiz was a larger-than-life personality in a good way, unlike some of the other people we will be talking about. He did his job remarkably well. 286 career batting average, 541 career home runs. I believe no one else who hasn't been touched by steroids has hit that mark and not gotten in. And people will point, well, David Ortiz was on him too. He was named in that report. Yeah, in 2003, when baseball was still trying to figure its act out when it came to steroids. And, you know, I don't give Rob Manfred a lot of credit on things, but he said, like, the testing back then was bad. Because it was. Because, I mean, how long was Barry Bonds using them and they didn't catch him? So, I'm not as worried about that. And even if it was, you look at David Ortiz's numbers. He wasn't good up to that point. 2003 would have been basically the entirety of his Minnesota career, which was bad. I mean, you look at the 6 seasons he spent in Minnesota. He only batted .266. He had 58 home runs, 238 RBIs, and 455 games. Not Hall of Fame numbers. It was when he got to Boston when he started taking off and, you know, was making all-star games and getting MVP votes. That's another thing. He's a designated hitter, but finished top 5 AL MVP 5 straight years and almost won it in 2005 when he hit a league-leading, had a league-leading 148 RBIs. Like, dude could mash. Even till his final season at age 40, he still was an all-star, still finished 6th in MVP voting. He led the league in OPS at 1.021. 127 RBIs led the American League. 48 doubles led the majors. Dude was 40 and hit 48 doubles. Like, he was one of the most feared hitters in the game. And, you know, again, for a guy who played on one of the Blue Jays' hated rivals, you couldn't help but root for him. And, you know, you don't get to say that about a lot of the other guys. Certainly not the top tier guys on this ballot who were drawing all the attention. Didn't get to say that about them. But for a guy who was almost a perfect ambassador for the game, guy who grew up in the Dominican Republic, was able to parlay a success and follow the path of, you know, the Martinez's, especially Pedro, who he's the second Hall of Famer from that 2004 Red Sox team to make the Hall of Fame. But then, you know, being able to overcome that start to his career, overcoming the tragedy of losing his mother, going to the bright lights of Boston at the behest of his buddy Pedro, and again, just being able to overcome that, use his likeness for charity, use his inability to take himself seriously for charity. In all the discussion we're going to have in that second segment about the gentleman who did not get in on this vote, David Ortiz generally proved to be likable enough that most people would be like, you know what, good for him. Like, if it wasn't for the supposed hypocrisy, which again we're going to talk about, people would be like, good for him. Good for David. But yeah. And I mean, again, he's not perfect. There was a restraining order taken out in 2020 against him by the mother of his firstborn son, according to that former partner. Big Papi intimidated and threatened her. And you know what? I have read a little bit about it. There hasn't been anything that came off of it, so hopefully nothing was physical. But for the most part, you can trust him with the people who didn't get in. It's very easy to see why people were able to look past some of those transgressions with him as opposed to some of the other ones. So I'm not salty about this. I'm fine with David Ortiz getting in there. And I'm fine with the players not getting in there. And we'll talk about those in a sec. But one thing you need to get into is a Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. In fact, even better, because it's healthier for you. If you're trying to make that change in your life and have a better diet, Built Bar makes it easier to do that because it gives you the taste of a candy bar because it's coated in 100% real chocolate. But it has less calories than a candy bar. Far less sugar, so that means far less net carbs and much more protein protein helps you build those muscles, helps you stay fit. So what you should do if you're thinking about getting a chocolate stash, if you're looking ahead to Valentine's Day and be like, yeah, I can get that discount Valentine's Day candy, get some Built Bars instead. They got so many flavors to choose from, like coconut almond and peanut butter brownie and cookies and cream, or my favorite, mint brownie. So many choices there. You go to built.com, you can check out their offers, and if you enter locked15, you will get 15% off your purchase. So check out built.com, see what flavors they have there, and get you some tasty Built Bars in your mailbox. So while some of the focus was on David Ortiz being elected to the Hall of Fame on his first ballot, a lot of the focus was on the guys who did not get in their final chance in the 10th year on the ballot. Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Curt Schilling all did not get in. And, you know, we talked about David Ortiz being mentioned in that 2003 Mitchell report about players who tested positive according to their metrics at the time. Three of these gentlemen were poster children for the steroids era. Sammy Sosa, could not speak in front of a congressional hearing. Barry Bonds, obviously testing positive with the Balco stuff. And Roger Clemens also being caught with steroids. Well, he wasn't actually caught with the steroids specifically, but was confirmed to have been suspended for steroids. So, you know, all three of those things were working against those gentlemen. And then Clemens had the whole thing where he went to court and, you know, was indicted on perjury counts, which, again, doesn't look great. Not a lot could be done to eventually get those guys over the plateau. And they plateaued at about 70%. And, you know, people have taken a more cavalier approach to steroids. I'm actually fine with them taking steroids. I'm actually not the kind of person that would keep someone out for steroids. Because I remember seeing those people just being like, well, why is Jeff Bagwell getting in? Jeff Bagwell used steroids. Jeff Bagwell, I don't really care about. Jeff Bagwell did his job and was able to, you know, put together a career that didn't really have the controversy of some of these other gentlemen. A lot of the reason why I don't want Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens in there goes to the same reason why Pete Rose isn't in the Hall of Fame. Character clause. Roger Clemens had a extramarital affair with a teenager. And that's gross. Barry Bonds has been accused of domestic assault. That's gross. And that ties in nicely to Curt Schilling. Because Curt Schilling is an absolute garbage human being. Even more so than the other gentleman who I mentioned. And if we're going to hold the Hall of Fame as that level of people who represent the best of the game, both on and off the field, then none of those gentlemen get in. You already made that designation. And you know what? You're going to have to take people out of the Hall eventually. I am fine with taking people out of the Hall if we find out they are horrible people. Ty Cobb, apparently so virulently racist that he was a driving force in baseball, not having the color barrier broken until 1947. I would be happy taking Ty Cobb out of the Hall of Fame. Not even blinking. Just throw that peach into the compost bin. I see no problem with it. And this is where the case for Alex Rodriguez gets very interesting. Alex Rodriguez was in his first year on the ballot. And I'm going to try and do this quick, cuz we got so many other guys to talk about here. Alex Rodriguez stayed on the ballot. He got 135 votes, so only 34.3%. It's good enough to start, and we'll see how he progresses as time goes by. But it's been harder to get momentum in these past few seasons. And as we're gonna talk about, because Alex Rodriguez had better numbers than, say, Manny Ramirez, but Manny is topped out at 29%, and you know that's exactly where he was in 2021. So there's not a lot of gain being made, and while Alex Rodriguez has far more direct implications with steroids. He was suspended for a year and admitted in 2009 to have used steroids when he was with Texas. So, there is definitive proof for him. There isn't conjecture there the way there is with some of these other guys. So, it'll be interesting to see if people actually do want to have that kind of belief when it comes to steroids, given that people Barry Bonds would have gotten in anyway. Roger Clemens would have gotten in anyway. Alex Rodriguez would have gotten in anyway. But he did it. And I will be very interested to see if people look at him the same way that they looked at Barry Bonds, just because Rodriguez was proven to have taken them. He was suspended for over a year. And, you know, if we want to talk about, character issues with him, he cheated on his wife a lot. So take that as you will. How much do you view adultery in that? Honestly, I don't. I think it's a respect issue, but I don't hold it in the same regard as domestic abuse. But still kind of ick. And I don't know if Alex Rodriguez ever gets to the point where he can sniff at the Hall of Fame the way Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens did. If you have other opinions, let me know. I will try to make myself available on the Twitter. I mean, coming off my Twitter barricade to avoid getting Legends Arceus spoiled. So, I'll be happy to have that discussion. And we'll see how it goes. There's only one place to go to for betting online, though, and that's betonline.ag. They are the number one spot for all the best sports wagering for 2022. As the playoffs march on, you can get in on Cincinnati against Kansas City. You can get in on the Rams and the 49ers. They have a new updated desktop and mobile website for you to sign up today. And when you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. And it's the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. So check out Bet Online, from football to basketball to hockey to boxing to UFC, including your favorite Vegas casino games. You don't have to wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. Head to betonline.ag, where the game starts.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So just to wrap up our Hall of Fame edition of Locked On Blue Jays. Gonna briefly touch on some of the other stories that developed down ballot. David Ortiz was one of only two newcomers who actually survived this ballot. Ortiz getting in, obviously, he won't be on the ballot next year, but he got in. And then the only other player that got more than 5% and is able to stay on was Jimmy Rollins. And I can see that for Jimmy Rollins, one of the better leadoff guys of my youth. Was a dynamo atop that Phillies lineup. But it was interesting to see how many players were kind of casualties. And I saw a particular case for Joe Nathan, a guy who had 377 career saves and an ERA below 3. Didn't get above the 5% threshold, considering that Billy Wagner is still on there and got 51%. And I wonder if that's because Nathan didn't really have the postseason pedigree that Wagner did. I've seen the argument for Wagner and for Nathan, and I think because Nathan plied his trade for the Twins before they got really good, and then had that like one World Series with the Rangers where he was a bit older and wasn't as effective, I think that probably hurt him a little more than it did for Billy Wagner, who had that opportunity in the World Series with Houston, and I believe with Philly as well. I think people factor that in the same way they factor David Ortiz's postseason success. So I'm not surprised that Nathan didn't make that threshold, and we'll see what happens with that. Next year, it's not going to be much better. Like, there are going to be some beneficiaries of a very lax incoming class. If we look at it, Carlos Beltran is the biggest name, which, and then you're looking at guys like John Lackey and Jacoby Ellsbury and Matt Cain. Guys who wouldn't even be close. Ari Dickey is going to be on there. Francisco Rodriguez may be the one most likely outside of Beltran to be able to make a dent, just because K-Rod, again, he had that postseason rep even when he just fell off a table later in his career. He still kind of has that cachet. So I think K-Rod and Beltran are going to be the bigger beneficiaries. And then some of these other down ballot guys who didn't really get a look. Like I said, a Bobby Abreu might see his numbers start to rise. He's been a sabermetric darling. But yeah, like there's just no one really coming on next year. I mean, Jason Grilly, love him, not getting on that list. Adam Lind, not getting on that list. Ubaldo Jimenez, not getting on that list. I can go on some of these guys. Aaron Hill, not getting on that list. Just name all the former Blue Jays. Jason Worth, not getting on that list. So, speaking of Blue Jays, we do still have representation on this ballot. Scott Rowland, a.k.a. the guy who got traded for Edwin Encarnacion, he rose up to 63.2% of the vote. So he's actually, you know, on pace to get in. Omar Vizquel, who's a garbage person as well, proved to be pretty abusive. He lost half his support. He's down to 24%. He's not getting in. That's just not a thing that is going to happen. And then Mark Burley stayed on. Not a lot of growth for him. He actually fell to 5.8% this year. I think he's another guy with Bonds and Clemens and Schilling and Jeff Kent coming off as well. I think he's someone who might get a bump next year. Tim Hudson got knocked off, which is a bit of a crime. But Burley just managing to hang on. I think we could see him jump up next year as well. And then, yeah, it's just basically going to be hanging on until 2024 when you have Adrian Beltre and Joe Bauer. Those guys are like, those are in. And then the year after that, Ichiro, CC Sabathia, in. It's just going to be a little lean until 2024. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if I'm around in 2024. Who knows nowadays? But even if I'm not, Locked On Blue Jays will be here. And we thank you for making it your first listen of the day. If you're looking for something to make your second listen of the day, why not check out Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, and analysis from Lee Sterling to get you the inside track to make the bets you need. Check out Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Jays. You can find me on Twitter at @A_J_Andrews. The underscores are there because Twitter is dumb and I'm still avoiding it, but I'll be back someday. Still got to show my new bat. But until then, for everyone at the Locked On Podcast Network and everyone at jsfromthecouch.com, I'm AJ Andrews. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode, and y'all take care.